So we can use the term BHI, but Behavioral Health Innovators, started in 2015. One of my associates, like colleagues and a friend, got together, and we both have family members that struggled with addiction issues and decided we wanted to take a break from our careers and do something about it. We were really new to the whole field of addiction, even though we had family members with addiction, but knew that other families, and particularly parents, had no idea about the disease of addiction and what we could do along the way to really address the gaps in programs and services for particularly the youth and young adult population.
I saw that you have a list of services. If you wouldn't mind kind of breaking down what services that you have to offer.
Sure. The primary services are solution development. Again, looking at the gaps, we first kind of looked at the whole, we call it a supply chain, from, you know, your first well visit when you're a child all the way to sustained recovery, and all the opportunities in that supply chain, in that path, where programs could bring awareness to substance use and related mental health challenges, and allow the individual, the parents, and the child to chart kind of a different course and to bring in supports much earlier than when all the wheels start falling off the bus, if you will, you know, in late 20s and 30s.
When I was on your website as well, I saw that you have a lot of educational initiatives, and I was wondering if you could talk more about those.
Certainly. So we created something called RAMP, Risk Addiction Mapping Progression. And what we wanted to do was, in working with teenagers, we have a student advisory board, and working in their language, in teen speak, call out specific behaviors that they are engaging in that would put them at risk down the road for a dependence and an addiction problem. For example, if they are blacking out at parties, and if they are thinking all day long when they can use and using alone, those kinds of behaviors are all flags on this progression to dependency and addiction in our research. So we actually created videos with young people in recovery talking about their journeys and where it got to a point, we call it the invisible line, where it got to a point where they couldn't get back, even if they wanted to. So even if they wanted to stop, it had already progressed, because addiction is a brain disease. It had already progressed to a point where they weren't able to get back. So those materials are all kind of available to schools or online. We have the Peer Hero videos. I think there are about 11 videos. And during their conversations, these peer heroes, there is an animated brain science video that happens at the same time, explaining the brain disease, like why, you know, at this point in that young person's life and their progression of use, and it doesn't mean they're using more, but just in their progression, what's happening in their brain. And you'll hear some of them say, it feels like all of a sudden they're scrambling to try to get back, you know, to baseline, and they're unable to.
Yeah, and I'm sure those videos are very powerful, especially when, you know, someone is sharing a firsthand experience. You know, I'm sure that definitely has an impact on the folks, you know, watching those videos.
Sure. And we actually invited a number of the recovery high school students. So in Massachusetts, we have 5 recovery high schools, to speak with students on CAPE. And that was back in 2017 when we first started the nonprofit. We held a youth summit at Cape Cod Community College. I think there were maybe 80 to 90 students that attended from high school to middle school level. And we did all sorts of interaction, kind of experiential activities with them. But the aim was to listen to them and hear what they think about substance use and what they know about addiction, not really to tell them what we think they should know, but to listen to them. And the best point that in the whole event was when they had an opportunity to ask questions, of the recovery high school students, and they were blown away by the answers. For example, you know, most young people think once you become dependent, you can just go and into treatment and then you're fixed. You know, you can kind of continue with a normal life. But they explain it's really a new normal because they're always working on their recovery. And then they also think that, you know, weed is not, you know, addictive and it's fine to smoke weed. And they asked the recovery high school students how they started on their journey, and they all started with weed. Not to say that weed causes, you know, an opioid addiction, but it was the behavior, you know, the reaching for something outside of yourself that was the problem, right? And it just, and how quickly it progressed, you know, weed to maybe a little Xanax, and then, you know, it's a full-blown heroin addiction.
I saw that you've done a lot of different programs in the past, and I was wondering if you wanted to share more about the Cape Cod Pass program and also your Drug Story Theater.
Right. So Drug Story Theater is a separate entity. They're their own organization. We were collaborating with them, and they've actually, since COVID, kind of rebranded, and they're back out there and have, I think, a production coming up this, I think, May, a new production. And but some of the actors in Drug Story Theater, who are all in recovery, are some of our peer heroes. So it was a collaboration. We did not create Drug Story Theater. It was created by another organization. But the programs we did create, we started with something called an alternative peer group, so APG for short, and we opened it in 2018. What an alternative peer group is an after-school program where students 13 to 18 years of age with a history of substance use can come after school and get support from a licensed counselor, a recovery coach. There's a family piece to it. The family members could be a parent or guardian, is also supported with family programs. And more importantly, they get to meet other similarly situated teenagers or young adults who have the same issues, so they don't feel alone. And the peer-to-peer support, there's lots of research on the effectiveness of it, is really the magic in all of it. And they start to form an alternative peer group. So they have social activities one day a week. They meet twice a week. And psychoeducational groups the other day. And right now there's a site in Dennis and a site in Falmouth. If you kind of zoom out, I mentioned recovery high schools. Alternative peer groups started as kind of the after-school program for a recovery high school. The Cape and Islands, we don't have a recovery high school out here, but we said instead of, you know, going that route, and we spoke with superintendents, you know, all over our area, nobody was quite interested in starting that kind of endeavor, a whole recovery high school. So we said, well, we'll start small, and we'll start with the alternative peer group. And it has grown leaps and bounds. And the other program you mentioned, the PASS program, we launched that in May 2022, primarily because not only is suspension harmful to students, but it doesn't work. You know, both things were happening. And we looked at that as an opportunity to tell students who are struggling that there are other programs out there. There are programs like APG, and there are tools that you can use back in school to, you know, to help you deal with the triggers that are resulting in the behaviors that are getting you into trouble. So we opened PATH. It was called Positive Alternative to School Suspension in 2022. And today we have 10 school districts sending students, Nantucket signed on. And we're also, we renamed it Positive Alternatives for Student Support. So getting the whole narrative kind of flipped, that it's not about, you know, the punitive nature of what we're doing with high-risk or at-risk youth. They need support, and so it's a positive environment. So we also now take students who aren't facing suspension, but the school has already identified as needing some mental health support or substance use support, and they come to program as well. And that's a 9-to-2 program on school days.
and kind of honing in on the Cape and Islands, I was wondering if you could share what makes an organization like this so critical to our Cape Cod region.
We've been coming to the Cape, you know, for I think probably 30 years or so. And when you come as a visitor to the Cape, you don't see, you know, the struggles really of the community around us. And we moved up here full time, I guess, about 10 years ago. And it's so obvious, and it's, you know, in our communities everywhere. And what was more obvious was the lack, the void of programming for teenagers on the Cape and the Islands. And we do a great job with seniors, and that's great. We're doing a pretty good job with early childhood ed. But this kind of gnarly teenage year, you know, these kind of folks, there was nothing for them. So if they did have a substance use issue, and pediatricians weren't really screening for that, you know, 10 years ago, and they're just kind of getting around to doing that now, they would have to go to treatment off Cape or off the islands. And then when they came back, there were no supports. So, you know, same people, places, and things. So if you're familiar with any AA things or any of the, you know, treatment program things, if you come back to the same place and hang out with the same people and you're in the same environment, it's really hard to stay on your path of recovery, which is, you know, I have to mention, it is at this point harm reduction. So it's not, we'd love them all to be sober, but we are meeting them where they are, and they have recovery goals that are pretty awesome. And some of them, you know, they'll reduce their substance use. So for the APG program, the metrics that we reported last year were 80% of them after this 6-month program reached their recovery goals, like attained their recovery goals. And 6 months out from graduating from the program, 40% were abstinent and substance free. So those are the kind of metrics. But again, that's kind of a wish that teenagers don't use and don't get dependent. But the stark reality is substances are everywhere. They've saturated not only, you know, the Cape and Islands, but our whole country. And it's really hard for teenagers to navigate a path of recovery without support and without, you know, similarly situated peers doing the same thing.
And on the topic of support, earlier this year, you were awarded a grant from the Chatham Fund. And I was wondering if you could talk more about that and what the money is going to go towards.
That's a great question. And the Chatham Fund has been a supporter before as well, and it's through the Cape Path Foundation. And it's going to the PASS program, but particularly we are piloting a middle school PASS program. So the students in 5th, 6th, and 7th, because most of our 8th graders are already coming to PASS because they're at the high schools, we want to get more upstream of the problem. So it's really the 7th grade, they're starting vaping and they're starting THC and nicotine. And so we're trying to get, again, more upstream of the whole problem. So the high school students we see at PASS are mainly being suspended or struggling because of THC, vaping, THC. That's what the infraction is at school and while they're getting sent to PASS. So we're trying to get upstream of that. So the Chatham Fund is supporting our pilot, and we're hoping to bring it to the Lower Cape area because the high school program and the APG programs are Mid-Cape and, you know, Upper Cape.
How can our listeners support you?
That's a great question. They can have real conversations with their teenagers. This is really what we're talking about. And if they are, you know, if they are using as adults, you know, they're not using in front of kids. And they're, you know, they're very intentional about what they say and how they relax and how they deal with stress, because underlying most of the substance use, if not all of it, is anxiety and depression. And it's really kind of a natural thing for folks to self-medicate. And also there were 3 middle school students, I think, heading to DY, eating a chocolate bar in the morning, and the chocolate bar ended up having THC in it, and ended up in the ER. So being just really careful around your own use, and also supporting our programs, really coming out to, we had a benefit class, a yoga class, is two of the staff at the PASS program are yoga teachers. We're jumping in the cold waters of the Cape from November to April, raising funds and awareness for the APG program. So a lot of ways to build awareness. And really, if you see something, if it's even if it's not your child, it's hard for parents to see, you know, what's happening with their own child. But if you see something, you know, you just say something, like do something, because so often these kids just kind of keep going and keep going and keep going. And then, you know, they're at work or at college and things start falling off, you know, the wheels start falling off the bus. And it's really a tragedy, you know, on the Cape when we lose, you know, these young people in their 30s. And we could have offered them some supports early on.
Is there anything else that you'd like to let our listeners know?
We're having a pickleball tournament on June 1st on the Cape. So sign up for that if you like to play pickleball. And I can't thank you enough, Joe, for getting the word out. And really kind of our mantra is we're all in this together. So I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I love pickleball. So that's perfect.
Come on over. It's going to be at the Barnstable Courts on June 1st. The link will be on our website.